Dear friends, as you assemble today, and I really, truly hope that the Lord gives you that opportunity to interact with your mom, if she's already home in heaven. You interact with God, assuring yourself and asking Him for that continuous reminder that her influence was essential in your life. You know, to then concentrate on someone named Tabitha on Mother's Day is very appropriate. It is a natural appropriation of a servant style of love. In a moment, we're going to see Tabitha, and we're going to hear what Scripture has to say about her, and about how, really, that is the fabric of society. People like her. People like our moms that helped us learn. I want you to understand that that's quite a contrast to what's out in the world sometimes. And as I talk to the little ones, it's so easy then as you grow up to get lost a little bit, that things get inverted. I'm going to just show an influence, and again, I'm not saying that no one should go and watch movies, but the movies reflect our culture. And a very popular movie shows girls in a completely different light. It's rather big right now. The Hunger Games is in the movie theater. Interestingly, that as it's what we call an apocalyptic kind of film, a post-apocalyptic, after a government has come and destroyed everything. Could be a nuclear bomb. The world changed. And it is set in the northern American woods, similar to Wisconsin. The Hunger Games is a godless, futuristic society that would be anarchy if the government didn't do its job. And so the government gives the populace what they want. And once a year, they choose 12 young people, guys and girls, to go compete in the Hunger Games. And only one comes out alive. Interestingly, that in this particular film, Katniss Everdeen substitutes for her sister, who is chosen on that day. They scream out to each other, and she says, "I volunteer." But Katniss is much better prepared than her little sister. She happens to have been sneaking out and learning from someone else how to shoot bow and survive out of the woods. So you can guess. Now's the journey with this girl, this heroine, to see if she can make it, if she's the one. Movie Guide, which often takes a Christian perspective, says it's a dark movie, where viewers literally watch children kill each other in bloody fashion. That doesn't mean shock us, does it? With its humanistic worldview, The Hunger Games has no depiction of God or the supernatural world. It's all up to the movie's heroine to win the game. But she has to lie and hurt other people to win. Based on a very popular book, it's a science fiction thriller with a big budget. This might be doubly saddening because it means that even more children will see the behavior depicted in the movie without thinking it through. Those susceptible to violence will want to reenact it. Those children who are not susceptible to movie violence will come out traumatized or fearful, or even worse, desensitized to the violence around them in real life. I would, at first I would agree with their final statement is that parents might not want their children to see this movie. But I think as they get a little older, you have to engage your children and ask, is that the kind of role model that you want to grow up to be like? There's certain things about her that are wonderful, the survival spirit, the, you know, all of that. But listen, there are other influences in our lives, and they are the ones that come. I will guarantee you the only reason I am a pastor is because the Lord loved me through a mother that was faithful to God. The only reason that many of us are even normal citizens is because we had unfailing love. We had a society in our own homes that taught us. And it is those role models that make the difference. You know, the question really comes down to, who are we living for? And who do we live like? Let's take a look at that on page 7. That's page is the outline. We follow Him, the series of our Good Shepherd, because He works through us. We follow Him because He knows us. We follow Him because He loves us, John 10. Now today we're going to watch how Tabitha was affected by this Good Shepherd. We know that the gospel is what Jesus did for us. I mean, we know that. At least we better have it. If you went and asked almost anybody in this room, what's the most important thing Jesus did? I'm going to guess, from little on, we start aiming at, some will say, well, He died on the cross for my sins. Yeah. He came to free us from the tyranny of the devil. He came to forgive us. You know, no matter how you phrase it, it always comes back to Jesus' perfect life and His innocent death, doesn't it? That's why I just talked about it with the kids. That's what produces the fruit of love. Now, when you understand, that's pretty easy for us to get that message. I just had someone come back from a confirmation service from last weekend and said, you don't hear that at all the churches, do you? No, you don't. Because some churches would answer this question, the best thing that Jesus taught us to do is take care of the poor, to be a good citizen, to be kind. Yeah, those things are really basic, but they are not the gospel. The good news is what God has done already. It's not what we're doing. And we wouldn't be able to categorize Tabitha's work as social gospel in the least. Nor dare we go there and invert our behavior for that which has saved us. We follow Him because He has so known us and loved us that now He takes a part in our lives. Let's look at Tabitha in Acts chapter 9. Here's the text. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas. It's not too common of a name today, but hey, moms, if you're going to name a little baby girl, do either one. They're pretty sharp from the scripture. Who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes. And seeing Peter, she sat up, took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. You know, if you're going to understand what the fruit of love is, then you need to see that in the first century following Jesus' death and resurrection, there was no confusion about this. There was an absolute central truth. We worship a risen Savior who is God and man. And the power of His life is not in His forceful person, but in His unique and comprehensive love. It is a powerful thing. They would come by the thousands in the early church. As Pentecost would occur with tongues of fire and the sound of wind, they would ask Peter what they should do. He pointed directly to that source. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. There it is. They understood that in Joppa. And Tabitha exhibited this in her life. If you look at this text, you'll find some interesting things. She's named twice. That's because she was known among the Jewish community where her name was Tabitha. Why name her? You could probably pick somebody out in your life that you've known because of their hard work. And this one is Mother T, different one, Mother Tabitha. We don't know if she was single or married or if she had her own children, but what we do know here is that her life was so influential, she was known beyond Jewish circles. She was known among the Greeks as well. That's why she's named, in the Greek name, Dorcas. So in that community, Tabitha had had an excessive amount of influence. She was a Christian woman who took care of those that needed help. Back then, they didn't have a social security system. You didn't have a government to take care of people. You did it for one another if they didn't get help. And if a woman especially would lose a husband and had no means, it was a very desperate situation. She became a baby very quickly. Tabitha was worried about it, concerned about it. And so when Peter comes back and he sees who she had as those that she cared for, they crowded around crying and showing what she had done for them. So what made Tabitha use her time to serve these poor widows? What impact did her life of service and love have on them? Let's answer both those questions. I think it's pretty obvious that Tabitha was a true disciple of Jesus. In this life of love, there was one comfort that had been seen. Perhaps she hadn't been there with all of the 12 apostles all the time to see all that Jesus did, but it is undoubtedly true that she was able to see Jesus, hear his words, watch his miracles, and feel his compassion. The Good Shepherd had led the way for Tabitha. She had heard him say, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." You tell me, if a person who has lived like Tabitha won't be known as somebody who cared. She wasn't even unique. That's the interesting thing. This was the early Christian church. They had it together. I think way more than we Americans. Listen to this phrase and then rate yourself on your own life and its balance. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, bought the money, or brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. That's powerful. That is still the function of the church. And though maybe we can look at another church and say, boy, they've got it all messed up, they're taking care of the poor, and they don't preach the gospel. We might preach the gospel and never live like Tabitha. That's not Jesus. Jesus works through us for the good of others. You probably have heard of the Chronicles of Narnia, written by C.S. Lewis. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe talks about this king and his power in our lives. I think there's a message that aren't to get to our consciences, even on Mother's Day, is that we frequently are rather selfish. What we have. We do not share love as broadly as we could because many times, whether we get worn out or stressed out, we're looking around us and not looking at the one who gives us that strength. When you are attached to Jesus, you will always have more love than you can share. It's a dialogue that appears right at the beginning of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. As the children move into that fanciful world, they meet the beavers, and these are animals who talk. But of course, you know this isn't about animals. It's about Christians, and it's about a lion named Aslan, who is the picture of Christ. Susan and Lucy ask if Aslan is a man. Mr. Beaver replies, "Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the wood, and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion. The lion, the greatest lion." You'd expect an animal to say that, wouldn't you? "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie. And make no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly. And he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. You know, when the Pharisees encountered Jesus, they didn't always understand that what had come before them was the most powerful person and the most powerful, loving God. You see, they didn't understand because they were unwilling. But when you see this, then it becomes a part of who you are. Many of the Pharisees went from following a God of law and of force to this God of love, like Nicodemus and Joseph. They were compelled by the love of Christ to live no longer for themselves, but for Him died. Part two, we give the gospel by what we do for others. In fact, I want you to see in this text how Scripture remembers her. Here's the only phrase about Tabitha's whole life. It says, she was always doing good and helping the poor. Now we have, dreams of fame that appeal to our flesh. We sometimes want to do all this good stuff, like handing out food to the poor, because then people will notice us. Maybe on a gravestone they'll put a note that says this was really a great person. But if we live that way, we have missed it. Because, though many people will notice Mother T and her influence on society, it has to come from that inner relationship with Christ. Scripture says Tabitha did this, and then it turns to another topic. It is a very brief obituary. Not like some that you'll find in the paper, or perhaps even sometimes maybe our calls in the church. It's so brief that it is going to emphasize something else. Scripture remembers Dorcas by her resurrection back into the world. Her claim to fame wasn't just what she had done, but it was again back to the dying and the rising, where faith is given. And it is in this event that Tabitha had influence. It's the fact that Peter saw the grieving just as Jesus had seen the widow who lost her son at Nain. Jesus had seen Mary and Martha. And Jesus sees your hearts when you are hurting. And there is a response of love. Peter brought Tabitha back because he loved the widows and because the Lord still had work for her to do. You see, it is his legacy of love that moves our lips to confession, our hands into action. Many times, we would like to do this anonymously. We'll give in the United Way. We'll do something around us, pay our taxes. We'll kind of do something in a general way. I will guarantee you, it will be more impactful to you and to the other person if you do it directly. There are some people seated in this service that if you ask me, I know what they do. They would not want you to know that they're like Tabitha. Because that's not why they do it. I'm looking around this room. I have a couple of people that I've already seen today. I was thinking about this sermon. That do this regularly. They help others. They take their time, energy, and effort. And it isn't because that's the commitment. It's because that's the love of Christ working in us. In fact, Jesus shows that he will take care of those who take care of the poor. What was Peter thinking when he went into the room? Was he thinking, this is going to be a great miracle for me? Everybody's going to be attached to me. I'm a great man, and wow, they're going to like me? Not at all. What he probably remembered was how Jesus went into the room of the girl. There's only one letter that separates Talitha, get up, and Tabitha. He said the exact words of Jesus, and the woman came back to life. Peter was only concerned that the name of Jesus be glorified. And obviously, it was glorified through him in a great resurrection. There are many people who believe that is the message of Tabitha's life. Moms, when you come today, you can complain about how much you've been serving, but if you love the Lord, it doesn't matter. Because you're not serving your children, even when they forget to thank you. You're serving a God who has already loved you so much that you are balanced inside. You know it. When you wear out, he'll be there to remind you, to bring his word and his promises to you. And yet, moms, you are of great significant value. You are our role models. And little girls as well as little boys need to understand the power that is at work in this kingdom, because our Lord, the Lion, still rules here. He can roar, but he also, as a lamb, can come to bear the burden. What a powerful message this is on Mother's Day for all of us. And those Tabithas, the nameless saints who care for nameless sinners, Jesus loves them. Every tear they dry, every hand they hold, and every smile they share opens a window so that Jesus can come with the most important thing he ever did. And they will say, "Honey, I wouldn't do this if I didn't know what it meant to be loved. So my love is just him working through me." Now, isn't that the kind of message you want to hear? It isn't about us. It's about him working through us. Amen. And as it will say often in Acts, the disciples were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were together. They had much in common. They devoted themselves to share what Jesus had brought them. And they loved like they were loved. Amen. Please be seated as we offer our gifts.